We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's your True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle have beaten Everton by 1-0 in a bad-tempered game at St James's Park. Newcastle won, Everton didn't. They fucked off home. One shot, none on target, no points, 3 points Newcastle. It feels good to say it. I'm Alex, joined by Si, Ben, Kyle. It's after the game, it's late in Newcastle, but we're in our office talking up the win, talking up Newcastle United. We're on Patreon. It starts now at £3 a month, £8 a month for the full package. Come and join us. We want you to come along, listen to more of these kind of podcasts. Si, good win.
It was all right. Yeah, it was another classic. Didn't have to play that well to beat a side that have had an all right season and had pretty much their strongest 11 out. And as you said at the very start there, they've not made Nick Pope make a save.
And they haven't even tried to make
a save. We've tried a lot of times. I thought we were sloppy at times throughout the game. We've gave them plenty of chances to try and lay a glove on work, and they just didn't. So it was like, all right, we'll take the win then, lads. Thanks very much. So yeah, just a nice textbook win for Newcastle. It's so nice to be able to come out of St James's Park and not feel like you've had any stress and just win a game 1-0. Clean sheet for Botman and the lads. Just class, yeah. A great win.
Ben, it was really bad-tempered. First half particularly, but there was yellow cards, there was some bad tackles, all from Everton. It feels a little bit like we've passed a test tonight. I think Everton came here tonight, physical side, long balls. We'll get into these. Bruno Guimaraes doesn't fancy it. Sven Botman doesn't fancy it. Look at him, he's tall and lean and handsome. He won't fancy Calvert-Lewin hoying elbows in his face. We've emphatically overcome it, haven't we?
Yeah, the Baywatch crew, they probably thought they're all muscles, but we'll put it up them. And they answered back. It's last time Gordon will be coming at Fabian Schär, I tell you. I thought at half time the referee had handled the situation quite well. I thought he was letting stuff go and rightly and wrongly sometimes, but it was quite a physical game. I think Everton have obviously done a little bit of homework. They've seen kind of how other teams have tried to come and play it, and nothing's really worked up to this point. So I thought that was probably they obviously fancied themselves to come in and kick Winter submission a bit, and we just stood up to it, and it didn't work. The midfield, especially, I mean, they came with quite an imposing physical midfield of Iwobi and Arna and Gay, and our boys stood up to it. I thought Bruno and Joe Linton in the first half were giving them a little bit back. It was great to see. Unfortunate that Joe Linton went off, but I just thought everyone stood up to it today. Like even Trippier, who's probably the smallest lad on the pitch, was kind of in there fighting, and it was a great kind of resolve and showed kind of the team spirit. I think especially that kind of scuffle with Gordon, everybody piled in, like looking out for each other, and as you say, physical game, but we came through with flying colours, and I think that'll be the last time a team will try and come in there, kick off the pitch, because it didn't go too well for them.
It didn't indeed. Kyle, mate, you're buzzing, obviously. You've made the point to me off air that point at Man United looks better because Arsenal have gone there and been beaten. Our next opponent, Spurs, were beaten there tonight. Liverpool were beaten, not Newcastle United, and it's kind of down to the thing that you wanted to talk about tonight, mate. It's the defence, isn't it?
It is, like, it's just incredible how good our defence is, and, like, I'm sure you all remember how good we were defensively under Rafa Benitez. Like, if you compare that team to this current side defensively, Like, it's just, there's just different levels, like, going forward, defensively, as a unit, they're just so much better. And, like, I know, and it's a hill I'm willing to die on, but I'd say this is, like, Newcastle's best defence since, like, the late 60s when we won trophies. Like, it's up, it's an incredible defence. It's got good experience, it's got good potential, solid players, a good mixture of experience and not. It's just a, it's just an incredible, incredible defence, and to go to Old Trafford and get a, keep a clean sheet as well as get a point, and then go and then play Everton, a very physical side, and keeping a clean sheet, and we've only conceded 9 this season, the only team to not be in double figures, so it's just, it's just incredible. We've got, I think we've got top 5 best defences in the league, 100%.
I'd definitely agree. And just that point you made about the Rafa team, like, the Rafa one, as good as it was, it felt like it was kind of there to hide and protect players. It was a case of kind of, it was such a good unit, but it was there to kind of, as I say, hide some of the kind of weaknesses in players, whereas these lads, you just trust every single one of them to do their job individually. And it, and even the midfield, and it, it goes to the front as well. I think this is the thing, is we defend 1 to 11 as a team. Everyone does their shift. And because of how good the I mean, we'll talk about the back five, that's what you're talking about. How good they are does allow us to kind of play Bruno a bit further up the pitch, not as if we're having to worry about kind of other teams and packing our midfield with defensive players, which in some respects you could say Joe Linton, Bruno and Longstaff, in another world could be quite a kind of defensive midfield, but we don't play with that kind of fear. We play with so much courage and bravery that they're able to switch from defensive instructions to go and go and hurt teams. And you can only do that when you've got the back five that we've got, where you just trust every single one of them in every situation to come through it with flying colours.
Yeah, the Rafa comparison doesn't really work when you think his was a back five and a keeper, so a five at the back and then two holding midfielders. It was a very good defensive team because we had basically everyone behind the ball, because we had to, because our only good players were defenders, whereas this is a back four, a solid back four defenders who are keeping clean sheets for fun. And then, like I say, one of the three midfielders has to do a bit of work in terms of holding, but I thought Bruno spent a lot more time in their half tonight. I thought Joe Linton first half was up and doing his usual thing of closing stuff down in their half. Longstaff probably the deepest of the three again, but they certainly didn't all have to do that job at the same time. There was enough quality in the team that you've got the back four and one of the midfielders doing a bit of patrolling to give us enough chance to get into their half and do them some damage, whereas, you know, the defensive teams that Rafa had and other years gone by were more about us just trying to stay in the game. That wasn't us staying in the game. That was us controlling the game and giving them absolutely no opportunity to get back into it.
Yeah, I want to develop it a little bit now. You know, it's a really strange one because I don't think we played particularly well tonight.
No.
You didn't see us press really high up the pitch. You didn't see us win the ball back a lot from Everton. I actually think first 30 is one of the worst 30s we've put in under Howe at home anyway.
Then a minute later it was scored.
But yet we've won. We've won comfortably. We've won allowing the opposition one shot on goal. And just to try and contextualise that, you know, that's a problem for Everton. You know, to go to away to St James's Park. And Lampard ditched his back five tonight. He got all his attacking lads on. He played a 4-2-3-1 and basically told the front four to stay high up the pitch. Didn't have any impact. It's almost like he told them that and then didn't tell them anything else. So they all just kind of stood there and then were like, right,
what do we do now?
Frank, it's not working. But
why is Pickford not passing to the ball, man? Yeah. Keeps kicking it out.
And then to only allow in the Premier League, in any game in the Premier League, to allow your opposition one shot on goal across the 90, not on target. Like, that in itself, we deserve extra points for that. We deserve extra points. To only have a plus one in the goal difference column to that for night, and we should have scored more as the game went on, particularly. So Newcastle, I thought Newcastle were poor first 30 by their own very high standards, which they've set. The next 15, they're superb. They're all over Everton. Mm. Goal, which we'll come on to in part two of the show in terms of who scored it. And then there's two Bruno chances, which you think he'll score both of them, and he doesn't. Some lovely build-up play as well. In the second half, it was just a bit of a non-event. Yeah. Newcastle had chances, and if you watch the highlights on like a YouTube package or Sky Sports app, there is no Everton. It's like they're not in the game. It's like one of those training games on FIFA where you're just playing against nobody. Like, apart from kicking our lads, be some bruises from our lads, because Everton were a fucking disgrace in terms of how they approached the game and their physicality. But apart from that, it was just... I don't think Newcastle played well, yet they've still kept a fifth clean sheet of the season, yet they remain in the top six, yet they've had a fantastic week. It's unbeaten six now, possibly. One defeat in 11. Is this what it's like, lads? Have we arrived, or we're just good?
I think this is it.
Do we need to just stop recording, because no one needs to listen, because it's just Newcastle are good?
No, the scary thing is, lads, we're not even at full strength. No. Isaac's out, St. Maximin's in and out of the team. Like, we're not even at full strength.
John Joe.
Like, and even then, we could add more in January with, like, the talk of a winger, the talk of maybe another midfielder coming in. Like, it's scary. Like, someone's going to wake us up soon and be like, yeah, Mike Ashley's still at the club, and we're selling Joe Willock for 24 million to fucking Wolves or something. Like,
Forest.
It just feels like a dream, and it's just mad. Like, we're not full strength yet, but yet we're 2 points off fourth. It's like, not to quote Jurgen Klopp with the ceiling thing, but the sky is literally the limit. We're not talking about ceilings.
Yeah, love it. I think, yeah, nail on the head, Dodgy. It's becoming a bit of a cliche now, but not playing well and winning 1-0 against a decent side is a massive, massive thing. Like, these days, that's European form. That's what Man United or Arsenal or Spurs would love, a 1-0 win against Everton, because it's job done. It's 3 points on the board against a team that could have caused you problems. So, yeah, I think it's really encouraging that we seem to be hitting our stride in one respect. The results are now coming. The performances were there early in the season and we weren't getting all the points. Now the performances aren't even as good, but we're getting the points. So I think we're getting what we deserved for some of the bad luck earlier in the season. So, yeah, long may it continue.
Very much so. And what I like about tonight as well is there's kind of small pressure now on games like this. I don't necessarily think it's from the crowd, and I thought the crowd were great tonight. Really got behind the lads, particularly in the second half when it was tough going for a while. But there's that pressure. You've got the draw at Old Trafford. You have to back it up. You have to do what we didn't do earlier this season against Bournemouth and Palace, and that's beat these very negative sides who come here and get the 3 points. And these games, it's probably a bit harsh on Brentford, but if I root Brentford and Everton in the same part of the league, you know, Brentford probably much more of a shout at top 10 than Everton do. But it kind of doesn't matter in the season whether you beat Brentford 5-1 or whether you beat Everton 1-0. As long as you beat those teams that make up the bottom 12 of the league, you are going to be in with a chance of top six. And I love the fact that we've been in the top six now since that Brentford game, and we haven't looked like relinquishing it at all. And this is the thing about being at the top of the league we're not used to. You check the scores tonight, Man United have won. I haven't seen any highlights, but that's a really big win for them against Spurs. Liverpool have won again. Two big wins for them in the space of 4 days. Chelsea drew, and the other lads didn't play. That's going to be the case all season. You're just going to have to assume that all of those sides, when you don't play them, are going to win. So you've got to do the business. You've got to be switched on. You've got to be like we were tonight. And I think there was some frustration. You know, Jacob Murphy, Sean Longstaff in the first half. Wow, they really struggled. Yeah. Struggled big time. The left side for Newcastle. This is probably a conversation for a tactic show, a statue on Patreon. But the left side of Byrne and Murphy, limited. In terms of an attacking sense, Dan Byrne, of course, has a very good defensive game. He's part of that back five that Kyle and Si reference. But to win that game, I just have to, just before we move to the ad break, I have to give the lads so much praise for that, because tonight was a night where Everton, you know, Everton went for it tonight and walk away with one shot.
Like, that's a goal.
That's Everton going. That's the best. We've seen the best of Everton, and we give them a shot. You know, it's extraordinary. We're going to move now to part two of the show. A few adverts coming up. You get these shows ad-free on Patreon for £3 a month. Get involved on there. Would love to have you with us back after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Si, part two of the show, Miguel Almirón has done it again. 5 goals for the season. What a goal.
Tremendous. At first viewing from the strawberry corner, me and Ben thought just it was all Pickford. It had an absolute stinger because it loops over him. I've watched it back and it is a great finish. A good goalkeeper doesn't let that in. But yeah, I think he's just playing with confidence. He's doing a lot of the same stuff that we've been berating him for earlier in the season in terms of he's still very left-footed. There was a time he overlaps Trippier, he gets to the byline, but he can't cross it with his right foot, so he does a little back heel through his legs with his left foot back to Trippier, and that stuff's still going on, but the touches and the passes are a bit more, are just so good, and he gets in and his shots are on target. I think he had another chance before the goal, and he has another really good one in the second half as well, and you know that one of these is going to go in at the minute, you feel confident that it's going to happen, but more pleasing today, other than the goal, was I think that 15-minute period that we alluded to earlier where we just dominated and chance after chance was coming. It was Bruno, Trippier and Miggy linking up down that right-hand side and just overpowering Everton every time. You had Murphy just jogging around on one side of the pitch, but I don't think he really got in once. And like you say, Burns just doing a defensive role. We almost become a bit of a lopsided three at the back because Trippier and Miggy now were... Trippier was basically playing as a wing-back and linking up with him so well. And yeah, everything came down that right-hand side. Another game where Callum Wilson's been quiet, but we don't need him to score when Miggy's putting chances away like that. So yeah, nothing but praise for the lad. He's really proven some of his critics, including some of us in this room, absolutely wrong. If he can keep banging in the goals and putting in performances like that, then long may he stay in this team.
It's one of those where teams still haven't really worked out how to stop that little trio, that triangle of the, like, Trippier, Miggy and Bruno. Every game we're creating chances. We've obviously got a couple of goals. Obviously, Miggy's, that's his fifth this season. Bruno's chipping in with a couple as well. And like, it's crazy because as you say it's almost like it's kind of going to the good old days where it was like we only had a right side under I think when it was Sissoko and Janmaat were kind of the only attacking outlet under, I think it was Pardew, wasn't it? I think. And it's like, you know where it's coming from, and yet there's still teams cannot like work out how to stop them, and that's a sign of some incredible players. And it's just great to see Miggy finally adding some end product. I think he's been a fan favorite for a long time, and the effort and work rate's there, and he was just lacking that bit of quality, probably a bit of confidence. And you see him now. I mean, as you say, he could have easily scored 2 or 3 tonight. Like some really, really good finishing. Some of the goals he scored have been absolute worldies. Like he's playing in such great form. It's kind of been the driving force behind this almost, because I think when you look on paper at Miggy and Murphy is kind of your attacking outlets, and that maybe feeds into a little bit why Wilson's struggling a bit. But you kind of, it's not a front two a wide men that's going to strike much fear into teams, but Miggy's like pulling all of the weight in that, and it's great to see. And as you say, a hell of a goal, brilliant finishing, as you say. Pickford a little bit, I thought he was too far off his line, and it looked like it basically been lobbed on his line. That's what I thought. He has been lobbed on his line. It's great to see.
The ball is, it's not a top corner goal. It's like the ball dips into like the bottom half.
It's gone in bottom corner, hasn't it? Let's be honest. Let's just call it what it is.
It's like an extravagant dive. Maybe if he just stood still.
Maybe if he had bigger arms.
Exactly.
It's funny though, just the last thing on Miggy, like he's becoming one of those players. I know he's not quite at this level, but it's like, I remember like when Arjen Robben was in the Premier League, and it was like, well, he's only going to shoot on his left, and yet it came off every time and just defenders couldn't stop it. Miggy's starting to kind of pull out those little bits of magic where you know what he's going to do. He's only got one thing, and yet every defender's falling for it at the minute, and they're flying in the top corner.
It's almost like he's been coached.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Well, that's a great point, Kyle. To give yet more praise to Eddie Howe, everyone talked about last season the improvement in certain players. Miggy's a player who couldn't get into the team in spells when Newcastle won that good run last season.
He's also a player we spent the entire summer talking about needing a replacement for. Like, yeah, we need a ringer.
If Newcastle had bought a right midfielder for £70 million, it's doubtful they would have had a better output than Miguel Morón so far this season. Doesn't mean I don't think we shouldn't sign a player for £70 million in that position. Competition breeds success, Miggy. But it's like, it is, again, I use that word, extraordinary. It's extraordinary that 5 goals in 11 games, and he's hit the post about 3 times as well. You know, Ben, I love your point that he's scoring the great goals. He's scoring great goals, isn't he? But it's not just like, it's not just that. It's the fact that if with a bit more luck, he could be on 10 this season. And that's always what we need. Is when we go back to pre-season, we talk about what Newcastle United had to do to make themselves into a top 6 side this season. We had to do probably 2 things. If you ignore luck stuff like injuries, they had to maintain their defensive solidity. They've done that. And they had to add more goals from attacking positions. They've done that with Miguel Almirón so far. Wilson's been quiet the last couple of games, but had 3. I think he's still got 3 and 6 or something like that. If those two can keep it up and ASM can come back in the team, we will finish in the top 6 if they can keep it up, because we're playing like a top 6 side at the minute, even though we're a bit off the pace and I still won the game. Don't know, lads, if anyone else wants to say anything on Almirón, but what a player. What a player.
It's not really Almirón only, but some of the set piece routines tonight were a joy to watch, and he was a part of those. The short corners that turned into like a 3 passing move, the chip to the back post. He's taken an active part in that, but he's clearly just following instructions so well, and it definitely does come down to that coaching. You can tell the lad wants to do the right thing for the team. He's not just sort of playing on instinct. He's not just running around. He was accused so much of running around like a headless chicken for the last 2-3 years because he didn't seem to be given any direction. Now you can see a player there who's linking up with his teammates. He understands which runs he's meant to make. He understands which runs his teammates going to make. He understands the ball to give to Bruno and then where to run afterwards and where he's going to get it back. Like there's so much cohesion there. And there's so much preparation going into how we're playing now that he is the epitome of it in the way that he's getting the fruits of his labour.
I mean, that's it, isn't it? Just think, this kid was the laughingstock over the summer because of some little prick that can't even get a game.
But he's now scored more goals this season in the Premier League than Grealish has scored for Man City since he signed.
But that's the key, is that was the joke, wasn't it? Was that he just runs around and does nothing. Whereas now, like, as you're saying, it comes down, you've got to give Eddie so much and the coach staff so much credit because they've put a purpose in his game, haven't they?
Yeah.
In that he now understands kind of how what his strengths are, how he can hurt teams, and he's doing it like every game now. And as you say, Dotty, like, I mean, 70 million, that's and some. Like, that's a £100 million player right there, isn't it? Five goals in 11 games. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, plus the defensive side of his game as well, and the fact he's so important to how the team press. This is football, though, so as soon as he like unnecessarily cuts back into onto his left foot on Sunday when he should cross with his right, he'll get slagged off.
Oh, get him dropped, 100%. Yeah,
out of the team, never again. What do you think, lads, tonight? And let's talk about the physical nature of the game and the fact that Everton really came and had a go at us. I thought first half, I thought there was that tackle on, I think it was Bruno possibly, by Calvert-Lewin. Shocking tackle, that. Just a tackle designed to hurt. Then you had the kind of Gordon fracas. I was quite far away from that, lads. I don't know if you had a better view of me, but, like, you know, what was your sense of how the game was going? Ben, you thought the referee had a good game at halftime because he wasn't falling for what Everton was doing.
Yeah, I thought he was letting play go in. I mean, that's what we've been told, isn't it? That the refs are going to let the games flow a bit. And you're right. I think there was a couple of tackles that I was really shocked that he didn't take more action with. That Calvert-Lewin one, obviously, the whole big melee with the Gordon thing. I mean, the Gordon thing, for starters, he's dived. Like, there's minimal contact and he's holding himself to the ground. Trippier's gone over and had a little word with him, and then everyone's piled in. Like,
for, I don't know what Trippier said.
Yeah.
Like,
but,
I wonder.
Yeah, I'd love to know. But
yeah, shit.
But, like, there was only two yellows given out at that point to Shaw and Gordon, I think. And when you think it was a full 22-man brawl, basically, at one point. I just thought it was a physical game, and there was a lot going on. I think second half, he kind of bottled it a bit and started booking players and almost, like, some of the fouls he was giving against Newcastle were pathetic when you see what he was allowing to go. I mean, Tarkowski should be sent off. He goes flying in on Wilson at one point, should be booked, and then within about 5 minutes he puts another horror tackle in and gets a second, well, what should have been his second yellow. I just feel like they, as you say, Everton came to play physical and he allowed it to flow in the first half a lot better. Second half, they kind of got a bit reckless with it and they were losing, they were getting beat, they wanted to try and kick a few of the players, and I think he should have protected a few of our lads a bit more, but do you know what, we won 1-0, like, good luck going home, lads. It didn't work.
The Gordon incident was hilarious, the way the whole thing played out. I mean, I wasn't worried about the penalty at all, because we have a decent view of it for once from our corner. Byrne, he doesn't even make contact. I don't think he brushes up with him with his belly, if anything, and then he just hits the deck so fast. So Trippier goes running over and he's like, what are you playing at? He gets the reaction he wants. Gordon lashes out, and then out of nowhere, Fabian Schär comes in to manhandle him, and then that's where the fracas starts. I don't know where Fabian appears from. He's just like, right, there's some drama going on. I'm getting involved here, because he fucking loves a bit of shit, as we just Fabian. But yeah, it was just hilarious. But you're right, Ben, it went from the referee letting a lot of this go to the second half. Like, it was just stop-start. There was no second half, because free kick after free kick after free kick. Both ways, to be fair, just foul, 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 foul. They kept doing it to us, we kept doing it to them. It's like, what is this? It stopped being football, but we'll take it, because it was enough to see out the game for us.
It was the only chance I've ever had, wasn't it, to move it from a football game into, I don't know what, a fight. They still lost.
Yeah, and the fact that we were able to stand up to that. I mean, you know, Sven Botman's played tonight. Kyle, I'm going to come to you on him, because you're basically our Sven Botmanologist. but he had a real test tonight with Dominic Calvert-Lewin, and he came through it with flying colours. Just talk to us about your favourite man again.
I mean, how many times have we played Everton over the past couple of years, and Calvert-Lewin's won the physical battle against Jamal Lascelles, and he's battered him. And I think Calvert-Lewin, in a way, has kind of came up with St. James's expecting much like more the same tonight, where he's kind of winning the battle and just kind of having an easy night. Botman didn't make it easy at all. It was just like that man is an absolute like unit. He's just a Dutch tank. Like, I don't think Calvert-Lewin was ready for anything that Botman had, and again, it's another dominating display by Botman. And honestly, like, this defender, like I was saying to you off air, Alex, before, like, I can't believe we've got him. It's a bit like when we got Bruno, it's a bit of a wow factor. I can't believe you've got a player like him, because we're so used to seeing these types of players play for like massive clubs in like Europe and stuff, but to have a player Botman's ability, and I keep having to remind myself he's only 22 years of age. It's incredible how like aware and how like how he can read a game and how he can and how athletically he is to deal with like the problems ahead. And like Calvert-Lewin, like we could still be playing now and he wouldn't be getting anywhere near like the goal. Like Botman's one of the main reasons why they only had one shot off target tonight, and it was just another dominating display by Botman. And yeah, I don't think there's enough words that's in the English dictionary that I can describe Sven Botman. He's just fucking class, really. And
he's a 22-year-old leader as well, because there was times in that second half when we were making silly mistakes. I think it might have been Fraser or even Miggy giving the ball away, and you know, in our own half, in silly positions where you're giving Everton half a chance, and he would deal with it, get the ball back, kick it out for throwing or something, and then bollock them. He was turning around, he was giving Miggy loads of shit, and then 2 minutes later, Miggy's running back and forward. You know, he's reacting to it as well in a positive way. But yeah, he was dishing out some bollockings, because after the shambles that was the Fulham goal. And conceding the free kick to Brentford, he's deserved these last two clean sheets, because I mean, he's just so good. He wants that clean sheet every time, and I was really enjoying him losing his shit a couple of times tonight when mistakes were being made. He's like, we've got to be better than this, lads, to win this game.
I mean, I wouldn't go against him. He's in the size.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. I just want to say a word for Ryan Fraser. He's not getting in the team in the minute. I think he won 4 free kicks when he came on. He's so good at drawing a foul.
He got the shit kicked out of him. I felt so sorry for him. He was lying on the floor more than he was.
It's all intentional, so I don't feel sorry for him. It's a master at work. Coming on, winding down the clock. And it's the same with Fabian Schär. Like, that was like a deep cross where he like stuck his toe out when he goes out of play, and he just thought, I'll use this. I'm gonna hobble about 60 metres, stop the game while I'm hobbling, and then very slowly go down. Like, it's so frustrating if you're an away fan in that situation, like Newcastle lads hitting the deck all over the shop. Ryan Fraser, one leg hanging off, just to wind down that clock, by the way. 6 minutes out of time.
Yeah.
Fuck me, six minutes out of time for that game. But we'll not go too much into that. We won. It was really, really nice. Any closing comments, lads? Anything else you think we've missed that we need to say? Please say now.
I just want to say it's an absolute delight and a pleasure to send the Evertonians home on the back of that performance. You deserve that one, lads. You're welcome. We've been through some absolute horror shows at Goodison and had to make that horrific journey back. And we owed them that especially last season's game at Goodison.
Yeah.
The 1-0 robbery with the fucking kid chaining himself to the fucking goal and all the shite that went on, and that was an absolute abomination of a football game. Like, it was it wasn't a football match. I don't know what it was last year, but we owed them that one tonight. They should be absolutely disgusted with the performance their team have put in there, and I hope that one lives long in the memory for them.
Cheer up, Jordan Pickford, that's it.
We haven't even talked about Jordan, who got it all night from Newcastle fans. It was absolutely great to see. Sales of dinosaur-related clothes and costumes have skyrocketed in the Northeast. You cannot buy a T-Rex T-shirt or costume or hat for love nor money in the city of Newcastle town.
I think he does it every time. He tries to pretend it's not getting to him. He really tries to pretend he's not rattled, and he's doing this all like, oh, calm down, lads. And then, especially in the first 5 minutes, he's like bouncing back and forward across his box, like sort of getting these defenders, calm down, keep it calm. And they're all looking at him going, Jordan, the only lad here who needs to calm down is you, mate. Just, you've lost your shit already. And then, he's kicking it out of play.
Do you know what he reminds us of? Is it Jonesy off Dad's Army? He was like, don't panic, don't panic. And he's like running around, like telling everyone not to panic whilst panicking. It's just ridiculous. Like, it's like, have a word with yourself, mate.
Nice current reference. That one's for the kids listening. Right. We'll call it there. It's late. Well, that was that. Newcastle were absolutely quite average, but we won 1-0. That's all that matters. We'll be back with another free podcast post Spurs. We'll probably do that one Monday night. Can't wait to be back. Can't wait to get into Spurs. We're on Patreon. It's between £3 and £8 a month. We'd love to have you with us. How are the lads?